Can you all see me in the back? All right. I think we're okay. So I wanted to share something on pain. But I was thinking I would do a little bit of a merger of addressing pain and suffering at the same time. There is a difference, a huge difference. For instance, sometimes healers can arrest or stop the pain, or sometimes someone who's helping us can eliminate our pain. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they've stopped our suffering. Just like we can often address the disease, but not necessarily stop the sickness. Or sometimes one can bring about a cure, but not necessarily bring about a healing. So you see, there is a difference that we can, in fact, stop pain, but stopping pain doesn't mean that we stop the suffering. We can look and deal with the disease, but it doesn't mean that we actually deal with the actual wholeness of the sickness. And we can look for, bring about a cure or be cured, but not be healed. So that's another topic of its own, because we're looking at the whole person and the whole being. But we're going to look at pain and suffering. We're going to kind of merge it together today. A little bit of cheating, but it can, I think, help us to hone into some significant themes. So when I say pain, I'm including suffering. When I say suffering, I'm including pain. Now, we think about it. There are certain times that we experience the most pain and suffering. One, when we don't know why we're suffering. Two, when we don't know how long we're going to have to endure some misery, some pain, some suffering. Three, when we feel alone. We look at those three again. If we're having pain and we know why, pain is there, the suffering is there, but it's a little easier to cope and to bear with it, huh? If we have pain and suffering and we have some idea of its duration, its longevity, it's a little easier to cope with. And when we have pain and we are with others, others are concerned, we have some kind of support system, we're part of some type of community, whether it's family, or whether it's an extended community, or whatever, it's a little easier to, you know, to cope with. As we think about pain and suffering, which we cannot fully avoid, is there anyone here who's never experienced any pain? Raise your hand. I definitely want to meet you. Find out your secret. Is there anyone here who's never experienced any suffering? And if you raise your hand, I'm going to encourage you to see a psychotherapist. Because pain and suffering is universal. And it's also something that one should expect from time to time. And it's also necessary for growth. So this is our topic tonight. We're going to merge pain and suffering together. And we're going to look at it from six different perspectives. Ultimately, showing how not only is it necessary, but it's an integral part of maturation, a part of growth. It's an integral part of unfoldment, integral part of self-realization, and it's part of the background of life and existence. Let's start there first. So keep in mind, six different ways of looking at pain and suffering. But first, appreciating the fact that the pain and suffering is most intense when we're having pain and suffering and we just don't know why. Why are we experiencing this? And we do not know how long. Then we can only look forth to each day dealing with the same kind of anxiety, with this mental or physical pain. And also the pain is worse when we are lonely. So we can somehow deal with whatever the pain, physical, psychological, we understand it a little better. We know its longevity, and we have some kind of community, association, affiliation, fraternity, sorority, some type of sangha, to be able to share that knowledge of what's going on and to get their love, support, attention, etc. So our first category of the six categories of pain and suffering is that we have pain and suffering because we are existing in the material world, in the material body. This is the most general but profound evaluation of pain. Every major religious scripture of the world emphasizes that we are greater than the physical organism that we are occupying. Every spiritual profound path emphasizes that we're in a rather unfortunate situation by being incarcerated by our material body. So this is the first thing to understand, is that when we are away from home, when we are prisoners, that prisoners suffer. They are confined. They are limited. They are restricted. They are chastised with hope of rehabilitation and with hopes of some healthy restoration. So for the prisoner to be in confinement and to feel limited, for the prisoner to be in confinement and to wonder why he or she is not happy, for the prisoner to be in confinement and to feel that something is wrong, is natural. For a prisoner to be confined, to be limited, to be restricted, and to feel everything is wonderful, is an illusion. And it's lack of accepting the environmental circumstance and situation that one has been that has been imposed upon one. So we will have various kinds of suffering as long as we're still residents of the material world, of the material body, in the reformatory, which constitutes material life. A prisoner can only be so happy being incarcerated. Incarceration itself is a very unhealthy, restrictive environment. So that is our first category. is that pain and suffering is due to our existing in the material prison. The soul is eternal. The soul is confined. The soul is restricted. The soul is somewhat in anxiety as it is being limited from what it can do and can associate with. Ultimately, the soul is in connection with part and parcel of the Godhead. And the soul is eternal. It's satchitananda vigraha. It is full of bliss and knowledge and eternal and eternality. It is part of the realm of Vaikuntha or Vrindavan. It is a part of the realm of no misery and no suffering. And now it's confined to Kunta, a place of ongoing misery and suffering. So nobody is going to be totally free of suffering who doesn't become ultimately self-realized, where one does not have to remain a prisoner of the material world. So then first we have the background of the fact that suffering is an integral part of being in the material world, experiencing confinement and dealing with imposition. Number two, so much pain and suffering has to do with unnatural, or we can say sinful things from the past. There are things we've done sinful in previous lifetimes. There are things we've done sinful and things that are unnatural at earlier times in this life. And then we get some kind of repercussion. Sometimes it's bewildering because presently we're doing okay. And so we're wondering why some suffering and some heavy things have come upon us when we're okay presently. But our present is also connected with the past that follows us. So when unnatural things are done, it gives unnatural reactions, whatever it may be. We can understand that sickness is often, it can be categorized as the body out of balance or the mind out of balance. That there is some unnatural things that's going on that's manifesting in a particular way. So there are things that we are now experiencing due to some karmic effects from the past. Parabdha karma. Things that have already come upon us and have manifested. Then there's what is called in Sanskrit aparabdha, or things that have not come to fruition presently. So there are unnatural things, unhealthy things that we, for instance, have done and it hasn't fully caught up with us yet, but things that we are doing now that in the future will bring pain and suffering. So these are three categories we've already discussed. One is the whole background of existence in the material world. Two, activities in that existence from the past that has brought us some disturbance. Three, activities also that are out of sync of what is natural. The different degrees of what is unnatural to the point of just gross sinful action. Or there's what is called mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. And there's some things that are in the lowest mode, the mode of ignorance, that are unhealthy in all considerations and brings all kind of inauspiciousness. Then the fourth category is a category connected with mentorship. And that can be from being a parent to a teacher to a healer, physical or mental healer, to a spiritual guide. Is that Everyone is connecting with someone else. Everyone is connecting with other people. And everyone is depositing something on other people, and everyone is picking up something from other people. And we're not just talking about germs and viruses. But life is about some bond of relationship, and it's about sharing, it's about receiving, it's about giving. And so according to your activity in giving, connected with your activities often in receiving. Easy example to understand this. Well, how many of you are parents? Raise your hand. So, when your child or your children are in pain or suffering, you suffer. Isn't it? Even though it's their body and you have your body, you suffer. You suffer mentally, and sometimes you even kind of take on some of the physical aspect of that pain, and knowing what they're going through, sometimes it affects you. Sometimes very directly. So you share some of their pain and their suffering. And the more that you are connected with them, the more that you share with their success, their happiness, as well as their failure or distress, etc. So sometimes one is even more actively having that kind of lifestyle where they give and they receive and where they empathize. This is why so often the therapist, let's take the mental therapist first, has to be constantly aware of the effects of dealing every day with people who have mental challenges. Because every day, people with mental challenges are dropping so much of their anxiety, gloom, frustration, and dysfunctional psychic patterns that's connected with some unusual karma. Someone is bringing that into your office and depositing it, because to the degree that someone is depending on you to help them, then even more to that degree, they are putting on you with expectation that you are going to relieve them of whatever they're dealing with. Just like physically, people who work around sickness are very prone, or sometimes more prone, to coming down with some kind of disease. Some months back, I was in our Lewistown hospital having some tests for lungs, for heart. As I was talking to the gentleman who was treating me for lungs, he was explaining how he has some lung difficulties, because constantly dealing with respiratory issues and examining people, he's constantly being exposed to different respiratory diseases. And so as we were just talking, he was explaining how he and many people in his profession often have certain kinds of disease because they're around disease. There are many diseases that you are more prone to find or get in a hospital. And some diseases you can only find in a hospital because they're not so common in other places, but the hospital is a place of sickness. So just physically first, by being in an environment that is so disease-oriented, so disease-possessed, is that one, naturally, will be bombarded by more and more of the germs, the viruses and things, because they're in an environment and they're alive and they're looking for an apartment. Looking for some place to stay. Looking for somewhere to eat, to experience some of things that it needs to maintain its livelihood. Parasites, etc. Now, also, subtly and psychologically, is that when you are a caretaker, then you are also constantly dealing with deposits. last 3 years I've given a lot of little lectures and sometimes seminars to medical practitioners, especially in South Africa and a few places like that, where and Russia also, where we will address 200 doctors and 300 psychiatrists and nuns, caretakers, nurses. A lot of times we put more focus on the protection that such people should be concerned with as a way to focus them and seeing the necessity of being spiritual to be able to take better care of their own mental faculties and physical sense of well-being, so they can do that work even better, facilitate others. If we're too wounded, we're too diseased, it's complicated, complex trying to help somebody else if we are too sick ourselves. And this is one of the aspects of why doctors live 10 years shorter than shorter lifespan, than most professionals. So they're dealing with a lot of disease, but also because of the kind of lifestyle they have. And the physiologists are more prone to addiction, drug addiction, than the most professionals, so they're dealing with those ways to get intoxicated easily. Doctors have a higher, rate of divorce and things like that, and in some cases even mental illness, especially psychiatrists. So they're dealing with it all the time. And so fourth aspect of disease is picking up from others, receiving from others, because you're giving and you're in that mode of giving and receiving. So mentors, whether you're a very empathetic and compassionate parent, whether you are a teacher, a therapist, a healer, or a spiritual guide for others, that there is great tendency in some suffering and some pain that you encounter due to what you have picked up, but also due to what you are feeling due to the one who is close, or one who is close to you. It's like a parent feeling some pain because their child is in a unfortunate situation, so the parent feels that pain. So that's the fourth category of pain and suffering, that is connected with who you are in your own existence, and that also can include the background that you're in the material world, the background of some past things that you've done that were not quite in sync or natural, the background of some present things you are doing that are not quite in sync or natural, along with what you are giving and picking up from others. Last two categories, 5 and 6, we'll address, and then we'll open up for your questions. And we're trying to be generic. We're not just looking at pain in terms of specific type of disease. That's of its own discussion. We're not looking at suffering only from an emotional and psychological aspect. We're trying to lump them in. If we look at something that may be considered negative, and then something that can be considered of a positive nature. So, the last two aspects of pain is in relationship to time. Is that so often we are suffering and experiencing pain because of the moment or the interval that we are tuned into, and because of something that is happening that can be very auspicious. The pregnant mother is having pain with the pregnancy, but that's also part of the fact that there is going to be birth, there's going to be creation. And part of that pain is a part of the process of being this kind of caretaker while this embryo is growing. And so there are times when the pain is opening the door or experience for something, or the pain is as we tune into a particular point, interval, and time in our life. And I'll give a little story, two stories to conclude these last two levels of pain and suffering that are auspicious in such ways. So the last two categories, those are just coming, letting you know the last part of this discussion. So, there's a story of a ship, you know, that was wrecked. And the people died except one person. And this one individual, quite a good swimmer, swam to the shore, a small little island, and there he was, a survivor. Open the door, some people were confused. So, he lived by himself, feeling very grateful for quite some time, considering that somehow he was successful, good swimmer, strong endurance, and was able to save himself. Feeling fortunate. Somehow God had protected him to that extent. After weeks and months and months and months going by, he started feeling different. Because he had to build some temporary shelter, and he had to go out every day and to find something to eat. And he had to be lonely, and he was constantly hoping each day somehow somebody would rescue him. It just didn't happen. So one day, as he was out looking for food, as he started approaching his little hut that he had built, he saw all this smoke. And he was wondering, what's on fire? As he got closer and closer to his little abode, his residence, he was totally shocked, overwhelmed to the max, because he realized the smoke was his own little house that he caught on fire. So he was just on the verge of practically cursing God. Here you are having such a difficult situation. We the boat wrecked, people died, you saved me just to suffer even more. It would have been better if I had died with everyone else. Again, how sometimes the greater pain is loneliness or being in pain and not having some solace, some support system. And so this was an interesting kind of pain he was going through. Of struggling every day for survival, and then kind of creating a little environment for survival just to see that now even this isn't working. As he was practically on the verge, becoming like an atheist, cursing God, complete transition from feeling that he was special, that he was blessed, that he was safe, now feeling that he was like cursed, because at least other people died, and they died quickly, and here he is going through slow death and dying alone. So as he was speaking like this, he saw the ship coming toward the island where he was. And he didn't know at this point whether he was hallucinating, whether maybe he had a heart attack and had died and God was really putting it to him. So he didn't really respond at first. Until he literally saw the captain get out and start walking toward him. But then he, of course, ran toward the captain. But he was dumbfounded. Because every day for months and months, he was waiting, anticipating someone to rescue him. And now, someone appears. So his first question was, how did you know that I was here? And the captain says, oh, it was no problem. From quite a distance, we saw your SOS cry. So, here's the fifth example of pain and suffering, is that we have our idea why and when something should happen, but God has his. And it ain't always the same as ours. He has a bigger idea, a more intense idea of the bigger picture. So he allowed this hut to get caught on fire just at a time that it would be able to attract someone who could come and give some help, some facilitation. So this is our fifth category of pain and suffering. We have our distinct understanding when we think something should happen, why it should happen. God has his, and sometimes we are in a particular interval, a particular time and space, and if we only analyze it from that particular moment or from that particular interval, it can become overwhelming, and we can see the bigger picture, and we can understand why even sometimes doing the right thing, doing the best thing, doing the good thing, there's still pain and there's still suffering. But then turns into some sort of auspiciousness. And now let's talk about our last category. And then let's take your question. Last category also will give stories. So there was a scientist who was very concerned with speeding up the maturation process of a caterpillar to a butterfly. And so he was watching how the caterpillar is contained in the cocoon, and he had some idea how he could get the caterpillar out of the cocoon a lot faster. So he made some alterations, to the cocoon. And of course, the caterpillar came out more expediently. But now the caterpillar comes out, that normally it would be in the cocoon, and the caterpillar is turning, and his wings is there, and it's entangled somewhat, and it works some time, and then it gets out. And it's live. So when this caterpillar had come to the point of the wings and was doing a little slight flopping, a little bit, but it cut so that it could get out faster. Caterpillar got out, made a couple of motions towards flying. It fell down. Could not fly. Scientist was wondering, what happened? It has its wings. It's out of its imprisonment, its entanglement. Natural instinct is there. Why is it not flying? Moved it around some. He couldn't fly. Then he realized the most simple principle. And he realized how, again, the Lord has arranged things so that if we allow the natural, we'll get natural, healthy, positive results. What was necessary is that that caterpillar, which now is a butterfly, by being entangled and having a period of that entanglement, was getting strength, his wings, that once it was out, it would be able to fly. So the last category of suffering is a part of what helps with the development. Part of what helps to get our muscles together. Part of what helps us to have deeper realization, deeper understanding, which allows us to go beyond just accepting the ordinary and lets us penetrate deeper reflections about life, about humanity, about relationships, about the cosmos. Even about the Supreme Personality of God. We know in literature there's a story of the tragic hero who through tragedy comes out a greater, better, dynamic person. Just as we have many people, and some of you hopefully, are in the healing profession. Many times the best healers, especially the alternative healers, are those who have had a serious health crisis, worked on themselves, or got work from others, and they got help. And so they are so vibrant in trying to help others or share something because they have been there. And they know that something can work this way, that way. Sometimes people who've had certain kind of handicaps, certain kind of of lacking in their lives in a particular way, who later have a change and have that, can become the best teachers and the best example, because from that they got the strength, from that they got the validation, from that they have grown into a mature, powerful person, which couldn't have happened if they hadn't had certain distinct setbacks in their life. There is no great person, genuinely great, who is genuinely great because life was easy for them. Even if they have accomplished something, they do not have deep realizations and understanding, because that comes from pain and suffering. And so pain and suffering can make us more sensitive, can help us be more introspective, can help us to go into deeper aspects of realization, deeper part of our consciousness that we wouldn't normally go to. Can help us to reach out for others in ways that we normally would not. Sometimes some of us who've never had any serious sickness do not understand what people go through who have serious sickness. I know most of my life I'm quite healthy. 2 years back started having different kind of health challenges, and I was shocked to realize how unsympathetic I was, while I was thinking I was sympathetic, how unsympathetic I was to people who have chronic disease, or people who are in pain constantly, or people who have to structure their life around their particular illness. And so it was through the experience of having some health crisis that helped me to have, in some ways, a greater sensitivity about issues of sickness and disease, etc. So a certain kind of maturity comes, certain aspect of strengthening our own wings comes from dealing with suffering and pain. So let's summarize our discussion and let us throw it back on you to see what questions you have. We start off by saying that we have pain and suffering the most. Well, first we define that we're going to lump pain and suffering together, because it's really not the same thing. Pain is there, and we can stop the pain, but we do not necessarily stop the suffering. And we can stop the suffering, and the pain can still go on. The suffering is something a little more intense, a little more subtle, because it deals with one's emotions, one's sense of being, one's sense of understanding or lack of understanding. So it's not always just a big thing to stop the pain. The pain may or may not arrest, but it's just a matter of radiation, because being in the material world is part of a painful experience. That we can hone into the disease, but we want to look at the actual sickness. Not always the same thing, because there are things that brings on the sickness that may not manifest in the actual disease. There's certain things, lifestyle things, there's certain kind of virus, certain things that sometimes do not necessarily show up in the disease. Even when you deal with the disease, that they're still dormant and they come forth because they're part of the sickness. Or there are ways to bring about a cure, but we haven't really healed that person. They have similar kind of lifestyle that's going to bring about, again, a similar problem, or sometimes even worse. So we looked at pain and suffering is most overwhelming when we don't know why we're suffering, we're in pain, and we don't know why are we having it, and what is it. And the pain is more intense when we don't know how long we're going to have to deal with this. And the pain is more intense when we feel that we are suffering without understanding, without association, without others caring for us. Then it's even more intense. You want to find somebody who's really, really suffering, somebody who is in emotional and physical pain, who doesn't know why they're in that, who doesn't know how long, and doesn't have a support system. That person even begins to wish death on themselves and will speed up their death because they have less and less reason to live. So we looked at the six types of pain and suffering, and the first was, this is the nature of being in the material world. The material world is a place where we are going to suffer. We're in a material body, and a material body means that up and down, a material body means that we are incarcerated, that things are imposed upon us. And then two, we discuss that has to do with some things that are unnatural, some things we've done unhealthy, things we've done sinful in the past. The results have come. Three, some things we've done in the present, results in the future, or things we've done in the past, but the results have not come upon us yet. And then the fourth category is a category of mentorship, giving and receiving in a big way. So therefore, you are experiencing what you are absorbing like a sponge. And then the fifth and sixth category was the category of time. Of there are instances when, based on our idea of time, something does not happen just exactly the way we would like it to happen, but there is some unfoldment as time goes on, based on the Lord's time. And the last category is that strengthens our wings, helps us to be able to fly, prepares us for what we have to do in the future, gives us deeper understanding and realization. So this is a little bit of oversimplification, but all at the same time, a very systematic way of looking at different ways how pain and suffering penetrate the individual and the population. Even though we may find ways to address all the last categories, that until there is the freedom out of the material body, until there is self-realization and purity, one still will be confined to the prison, which will then bring about different kinds of misery. That's why we mentioned Adiyat Megadi Bhotik and Adi David, that there is a suffering from our own mind, suffering from other living entities, suffering from the cosmos, from the devas, from nature, from things that are part of, again, the material world. And that everyone is subjected to these things. Even the liberated person is subjected, but they codify it and they process it in a different way. Not that the pure servants of the Lord do not grow old, do not get sick, do not deal with suffering. Sometimes their suffering is the most because they bring on certain effects due to karmic effects, or because their examples are there to move through and to assault the basic energy of the material world, and so there is war, there is confrontation in that regard. That brings on attack and different kinds of incoherence. So let us see what questions that you have as we try to merge this pain and suffering together. We're ultimately seeing that it's something that can bring about growth. Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. A couple of things came up, but the first one being confined to the physical body was one of the things that would help, one of the activities that would help.
Can you hear in the back? Okay.
Would be a meditation to allow the soul to relieve itself of this confined space periodically on some given interval.
So she was mentioning about this category of suffering due to confinement in the material body. And she's suggesting or inquiring, can things like meditation, can they facilitate one being less enslaved by the body, less confined, less identifying with the body? Yes.
Okay.
That spiritual practices can surely connect us and remind us that we are bigger than just the physical confinement that we're limited to. It can also give us certain experiences, and it surely can give us certain internal strength while we are carrying this machine. Body is the machine, and we have to deal with and take the best care as possible. But sometimes the spiritual practices can allow us to cope a little better. And many times they give us a certain amount of internal strength that minimizes our experience of physical disease also.
The other question is, what occupation then, and I'm sure there has to be many, but what occupation have you thought about that perhaps would minimize your exposure to whatever, the different types of occupations, that would minimize your exposure such that you minimize your risk?
Nice question. What occupation can minimize your risk to physical disease, emotional distress? When you really are thinking very selfishly, you're definitely going to experience a lot of sickness, because it means you're not going to send out enough love and receive enough love, and that brings sickness also. That means illness. So, you understand, someone definitely headed for sickness. They're trying to live a life and think, how can I get what I need, what I want, and how can I manipulate and be utilitarian and have ulterior motivation and get what I have to do and don't get caught up in other people's stuff. Let me do what I have to do. It just doesn't happen that way, because love is about something you pursue, to pursue it with dignity, hopefully to engage in something that is not going to add to the degradation of society, but will be about conscious raising, and to realize that it's not about always stopping the pain, because you can't. Just like you can't stop death. Or, you know, the whole idea of the hospice is that people are dying, but you want to, as much as possible, help them to have a smooth death. But even more from a spiritual point of view, for people to understand that everybody's going to die, but you want them to die with dignity and hopefully with understanding and realization. Because whatever health modality that we learn, that we teach, that we administer, or that's administered on us, the ultimate 100% result is you're going to die. And your patient is going to die. And so we can give all the care we need to, the best care possible, but the ultimate result is you're going to lose every one of your patients, and they're going to lose you. So the question is, we can't stop, ultimately, suffering, disease, death, old age. But we can help people to understand it better, to move through it, to use it better, and to have quality of life. It's not a big thing about living for many, many years with poor quality of life. But how wonderful it is to live a life where there is healthy quality association and relationship. So the thing is not to think of what profession can I be less disturbed, but how can I be less disturbed whatever I do, and how can I do it to great consciousness, my own, you know, as well as others.
Mm-hmm. Could you speak to pain and suffering as it relates to the lower worlds and the higher worlds?
Yes. It's like there's so many different kind of bodies. The Vedic scripture mentions 8,400,000 different types of physical forms that the soul can incarnate in. Some of those forms on this planet, some in this universe, some other universes, some in other dimensions within this universe. But all of those are physical kinds of forms that have its own kind of complexities and suffering. Even in the higher realms, some of the heavenly realms, where people have less physical inconvenience, but where there's a heavy, intense amount of compassion, then there's a certain kind of suffering as they reflect on others who are in lower dimensions, the lower realms, who are suffering. Like we mentioned how a parent suffering because of the child. So the parent has such love and affection for the child, so seeing that child in a difficult position causes that parent in order to feel some misery at the same time. So, again, even in the higher realms, there You know, they are suffering. Because the material world, the material body, material culture is a part of the background of experience of suffering. Why? And one reason? Because the soul is very hungry. Like we're all starving for love. And the soul is very hungry for eternality and for bliss and for realization and for ongoing, non-stopping love and experiences. And by not having that, having been a part of that, is an integral part of the background of suffering, even when there is not physical suffering. Other questions? It's like if you were, you know, from a very wealthy family, rich family, living in mansions and being treated like a princess, like a prince, like a king, and then you had to give up that whole lifestyle and live practically almost like a homeless person or in the project. There would be a certain amount of suffering, even when day-to-day life is going on, certain amount of suffering, comparing, in contrast, what you used to do, what you were about, and what you're, you know, what you're now experiencing. Just a contrast. You bring some incoherence and some suffering. So the soul knows the contrast. It understands that it can be about, has been about more, and now it's dealing with, you know, less of what it has been and could experience.
That piece in Tantra Kinta. And this is, I don't know if this is a question or more or less, but in India, it's referred to as the sattvic, the karmicless way to live, to eat, which is fruit. Mm-hmm. And in Egypt, in Kemet, we refer to it as the alchemy change, where one performs the alchemy on self and takes on the way of living in a sattvic way, which is karmic bliss, to obtain a state of bliss. So, it works. It works. Once we begin to transform ourselves in the sense of alchemy, what we are taking in, the cell at a cellular level, we will begin to rejuvenate and regenerate. And it can be all types of chaos around us. Madness around us, and we're still in a state of bliss because you have changed your own alchemy. In other words, as Imhotep would have said, as he did say in Egypt in Kemet, heal thyself. So I would like to get your impression, your feeling upon in India, as they say, live the sattvic, be karmicless, eat the fruit.
You explained it so nicely. I don't know if I can add anything, but I'll try. So sattvic is dharmic, or it's goodness. Or it's doing the things that are more natural, that'll give a more natural, you know, auspicious result. And so everything we do has ways that we can do it in a more refined, natural way, and things that we can do that can be sluggish, can be distractive, can procrastinate our spiritual journey. Now, we all know, and doctors are understanding more and more, how what we eat affects our existence. Now, let's take one or two very distinct things. Now, with technology, we can do organ transplants. Say, for instance, heart transplant. There are distinct studies showing how when someone takes someone else's heart, and in some cases organs, they take on some of the qualities of that particular person. Sometimes not even knowing who the donor was. Say the donor died, you know, was a punk rocker, used to drive, used to motorcycles. The other person liked concert music, the person liked hard rock. They had heart transplant, and now for some reason they like this hard rock music, and they're taking on different mentalities. So what to say when we eat and we're constantly taking things into our system, we are affecting our mentality. And so the more that we eat that which is sattvic, that which is natural, that which is stimulating, then the more it gives us more facilitation to do more pious things in spite of an environment that we have to deal in that are constantly assaulting and attacking. in such a way. Let us maybe ride with that a little bit. Because, you know, often we hear, but you're a vegetarian and you miss certain nutrients and vitamins. Yeah, and you can eat meat and go to McDonald's and you miss all kind of nutrients and vitamins. Yes, however you eat, you need to be conscientious to see that there's a balance. But we know there's a huge difference. If you have this healthy balance and you eat that which is more natural for what this body is designed for. We don't have all of those canine kind of teeth and intestines and things that are so there for carnivorous entities that only eat carnivorous, eat in that particular way. And so God didn't make a mistake. He gave us facility to be able to honor this kind of more natural eating style. And we all know, we can say, well, what if you eat animals, but you eat animals that are cared for nicely? And so, yes, you eat slaughtered animals, certain things that are associated with that. You eat any food that is prepared just only for the sake of preparing, just to get your money, certain kind of energy comes with that. So there are many, many radiations. But especially we who are light workers and caretakers, that we should be ready to make more of the sacrifice to live more naturally, so we can teach people to live more naturally, so we will then be also more in harmony with the sickness, to minimize the whole sickness on the planet. And there's so many things you can study, that if people would stop eating meat, how there'd be so much more grain, so much more water, how many people who are starving would have a greater chance or would have better survival if there wasn't so many other people, especially in the developed countries, who are eating meat. We see how much more prone you may be to cancer and some of the other things by eating meat. We see how much we make our bodies a graveyard. We take some dead corpse, we put it into our body. And so it just, you know, goes on and on. But the thing is that everything is alive, even the vegetables. And so, but it's a certain kind of life. And when we take things that can enhance our capacity for love, because then our life becomes our message, and we're sending out more into the environment, as well as taking care of our own universe, then of course, this gives us more ability to minimize the suffering and the pain that's projected on other entities, that's projected, it brings more sickness, and that gives us more chance to adjust in a difficult environment, because it is difficult. And just trying to survive, however you're trying to survive. But obviously, that if we can take advantage of these great wisdom thinkers and great personalities, and they didn't just live like that, you know, just by accident, that they were sending a message, you know, to us. We want to have the greatest expressions of peace and love. And last time I was here, and we were having the discussions, and I was saying, and I did on the TV the other day, is that the world is being so much assaulted with violence, and we cannot afford to add to that violence. So if we are taking violent drinks, eating you know, on the violent level, we engage in hearing violent music, if we are supporting violent leaders, we're having violent relationships, then we are integral part of the violence that's sweeping the city and the country and the world. And so our life should be more and more an expression of love and peace in spite of the violence. And as you were saying, as we focus more on our constitution like this, even there can be more and more chaos around us, but we'll be less disturbed. I'm having a tumor on my foot, you know. And I was just discussing this back with one doctor in Hiller. The doctor says, this is psychic. He says, you know, if you were eating meat, you would have cancer. Nature of my life, I'm in different countries every, you know, couple of days, and different water, and different food, and different air, and I'm a guru, and I take on all kind of energy, and things, something subtle in the foot. It's a huge foot here, it's big, it's a sore right now. But it would be something very, very, even more complex if I didn't have the lifestyle of eating, you know, as a vegetarian. So there are things that get enhanced with complexity based on our diet. Some things, you know, things that get minimized based on our diet. But especially we want our life to be an expression of love, an expression of doing things that are natural so that we minimize the suffering that's in the world. Other questions?
I'd like to know what you think about karmic memory and pain. What I mean by that is, do we have like a karmic memory of what it is we're here in this incarnation to relearn? And so we have certain pain and suffering to help us to move through those lessons so we won't have to repeat them.
Oh, yes. Everything that happens to us is also in connection with some kind of lesson that is there. Because what happens to one person does not necessarily happen to someone else. And because there's ultimately God in control, then what we normally call accident is something that is not directly in our specific control, but is not out of control. For God, and the devas, and other angelic hosts who help to oversee our situations and send things to us and take things away. And then there is so many things that we are aware in our subtle consciousness or unconscious that comes out through spiritual practices. It comes out through realization. The other day I was meeting with Dr. Douglas and some other psychotherapists and doctors at a program. And after we finished the program, I was mentioning, we have a discussion about, you see, about birthmarks. And he was just bringing up some contacts that he had of people, maybe two of the people, who are aware of their previous lives. One case, we mentioned, it was a friend of his, who had a birthmark on his stomach. In a previous life, he had died from a bullet wound on his stomach, the very same place. So here, from the subtle body, we have a physical body, we have a subtle body, and we have a soul. This is a way to simplify our existence. And so when we have death, the subtle body carries the soul on to the next physical body. So sometimes things that have happened to our previous physical body can then distinctly carry on to the next life because our subtle body is still going on with us, carrying the soul, into a next existence. And then we know, just physically speaking, we know that somebody has cancer in the family, they may be more prone to certain kind of diseases, genetically disposed. So it shows how, that we are such an integral product of socialization, heredity, of genes, all of these things. And so karma is the step, the combination of all of it, that we are carrying so much influence based on your mother, your father, based on the environment. All of these things make up the person. Socialization. Somebody who's connected with parents who divorce, they themselves are something like, I think, four times, more likely to divorce. So we get influenced biologically, psychologically, sociologically. We are all caught up in so much of what we are based on who and what we associate with. Maybe one or two last questions, and then we will. I think there's some refreshments that we have for you also. Maybe we'll do a prayer as we end to give you a little healing in the process of our own individual spiritual journey. Anyone else?
When you were saying you have pain, and one of the problems is not knowing where it comes from, for instance, I've experienced migraines with pain in my neck and my head, and I'm not sure, I don't know why, where, what the, I know that there are certain foods that trigger it and stuff like that, so I try to avoid that stuff, but, I've been down for 3 days, total debilitation, and I can't figure out, I don't know if it's, I think that I was leafing through the book and it said something about your emotional, there's, for every physical symptom, there's an emotional condition, and I was just wondering how one would go about finding out where the source of that pain is so that you can take action to cease.
Hopefully that's why you have all these different kind of healers.
Right.
So, sickness is, the hallmark is that it's complex. Because it may be psychosomatic. It may be based on a virus or, different kinds of environmental concerns. It may be based on something that, that's hereditarial. I mean, we can go on and on. Different things that any particular sickness can be. But ultimately, we realize that every sickness is associated with some aspect of consciousness. And even above that, the way how we deal with every sickness is associated with a certain aspect of consciousness. Sometimes the most spiritual, healthy spiritual people have some of the most amazing handicaps. Sometimes some of the most talented people are born with handicaps. And it's those handicaps that allow them to become great achievers and excel in some other areas. So it's not that, you know, a particular kind of ailment or handicap or something that would normally be considered to be inauspicious is in fact inauspicious. It's how we use it, what we do with it. There are people who are seemingly most of the time very healthy, and the quality of life they have is, you know, is not so wonderful. And sometimes it's just amazing how some people can have a really funky habit, and they can be very healthy and live for a long time. And there's some people who are so careful about their exercise, their diet, their meditation, their yoga, whatever, and then you just found out they just died less much, you know, of cancer, or hepatitis, whatever. So you know those things are there also. It's very complex. Yes. Take the microphone because we can't hear you.
In eternal life, do you think we'll be suffering? Is there pain and
in eternal life? No. Because the kind of suffering that we are confronted with has so much to do that we are eternal, but we're not accepting an eternal lifestyle. We're back into our natural environment in the spiritual realm, the full consciousness. No. It is void of these kind of dualities that we experience here, of disease and even old age. And because we don't have to pay taxes, we don't have creditors, we don't have to go to war, have any of these things that cause a lot of pain. You don't have a cheating wife or a husband who cheats on you, or children, you know, who get it, you know, who are very insubordinate, or who you have to worry about because of dangers. You don't have anything. No crime. None of these things. This is all a part of the mundane existence that we have to tolerate at this time. And hopefully deal with and transcend it individually, or we try to help others to be able to transcend it. Let's take maybe one last question. Okay. Dr. Bob?
Hi. I just wonder if you could maybe touch on the pulse of the planet right now and where we're at in humanity. It seems like a lot of pain.
This is a nice question, I think, to close on. As we mentioned about so much of the pain is due to the nature of being in the mature world, also so much pain is in accord to what is going on at a particular time in the mature world. And we're at a time now where the humankind on this planet are giving so much pain to Mother Earth, to Bhumi, by the drilling of oil wells, rupturing the wombs, by toxic waste, by so much lying and propaganda that goes on, so much mental culture that's violent and sensitive, and with so much fear. There's just such an acceleration of fear and insecurity. And this brings unhealthy functioning, unhealthy state. You know, it brings dysfunctionalism. So we have a world now that's being dealt with in a very unnatural way. We have a system that's being exploited, abused, and manipulated. And we are we're residents in this, you know, this paradigm, this system. So because of that, then the people on the planet are so much more susceptible to various kinds of assaults and anxieties and various types of difficulties. I mean, we all see how, well, maybe some of you who are a little older, I'm only 26 years old, some of you who are a little over 50 and 60, especially, you are surely aware how just 40 years ago, there was no question of people having cancer like we see now, and so many other kinds of diseases. And a lot of the kind of diseases we have a lot to do with lifestyle, with problems that are associated with modernity. But it has to do with how we live and the choices we make as we exist and deal, you know, with Mother Earth. And so it's, you know, again, some things are coming back because of unnatural things we do, and we're getting more kind of a natural reaction in that way. So, and what to say of, you know, the amount of increase in mental disturbances. They say, oh, we are having more ability to analyze them. No, people who are having greater sense of community, greater support systems, we're nowhere having the kind of mental disturbances as we're beginning to have more and more now, where there is so much individualism and lack of supporting, you know, loving relationships. So, as Dr. Bob has mentioned, that this is a really unusual time. And, you know, it very likely will get quite a lot worse before it gets better. So spiritual people really have to fortify themselves more, physically and spiritually, with more mental disease, mental incoherence, with more physical incoherence. The people have to, literally, they have to fortify themselves more to be able to be more productive on the spiritual journey. And because there's so much of a need for people on the spiritual journey to be available to assist others, there's a need to keep yourself as sound as possible so you can, you know, be able to do that. So that's kind of a nice conclusion, because what all this said that we discussed today, a major issue is that Mother Bhumi is, you know, is crying out in pain and in suffering. The earth is crying out in pain and suffering. And because of that, it's finding some ways to try to deal with the viruses that's attacking it. And some ways it deals, as most of you know of earth changes, some ways it deals with is by having earth changes, having tornadoes and hurricanes and droughts and these kind of things, is a way that the system is being under attack and trying to find some ways to balance itself, you know, to adjust itself. It's like the body has a natural way when germs are there and viruses are there. And so it's attacking it. It may show up in inflammation and fever and so many things. But something is going on and trying to, you know, trying to create a balance in such a way. So we're on this planet where all of this imbalancing is there, and we are all a part of it. And so whatever we do, we also are dealing with the general current of imbalance. So don't be too overwhelmed. You're finding in your own life, especially in the last few years, that you're getting a lot of shifts, you know? That you find that it's kind of harder to stay fixed and stable. Don't be surprised if you are one of those who say that when the last 3 or 4 years you've had some of the most intense challenges you've ever had. Well, believe it, you're not alone. That this is a planetary thing, you know, that's happening. And so people have to just find more ways how to have good association and to be more careful in all the things they do in terms of how they eat, sleep, mate, and defend, what they're listening to, and to be even clear, you know, about their aspirations and their vision, so they can have a certain amount of passion for things that are going to be productive, that they can identify with, and be able to be positive change and change agents. Because even to just see all the craziness that's going on and not to do something can make you very sick. You see all the madness and you feel helpless and disempowered, you're going to get sick. And so for our own spiritual, mental, and physical well-being, we have to see what we can do. Even if we can't do much, we have to see what we can do for our own well-being. Otherwise, we just become so caught up in just the anxiety and the defeatism, you know, that's sweeping the planet. So there's a real need for a real healing. And we'll end with this. You know, there's so much toxicity. So we have a toxic planet. It's being more and more infiltrated, you know, with negativity. We have so many toxic institutions that are practically empowered for the different kinds of destruction. We have so many toxic leaders who have no understanding of servant leadership or leadership with principle, with morality, dignity, and integrity. And we have so many toxic relationships People don't have a clue how to really to love each other, but just more or less how to use each other, support each other. And what's the end result? You have toxic individuals who are struggling with all kinds of things in their life that's out of balance. So let's pray and hope more that our category will be, if we're dealing with pain and suffering, it has more to do with some type of mentorship where you are reaching out and trying to minimize pain and suffering for others, and in the process you are balancing yourself and trying to, as she was saying, trying to keep yourself so that you are less disturbed so you can be able to do more at a time when sickness is pervading and become more and more pervasive in so many ways. As many who can, go into the healing profession where you can address more taking care of the body, the mind, and most important, intensify your spiritual life so you can take care of the soul. Because the end result is you die and your patients die. But you at least want to be able to help people to understand why they may be experiencing pain and suffering and how. And how to be able to get through it with association that minimizes whatever pain or suffering that we're experiencing. Thank you very much.